This is the second lecture of the day, May 26, 1954. Now we're going to take up some of the practical aspects of auditing on the subject of opening a session, running a session, and closing a session. Now this is what you do with one session. And you should understand this very clearly. We're talking about, not about now, a case span, which we are normally talking about. We're talking about a session span. Now, how long do I mean by a session? Well, I don't know any auditor to date who has run a session as long as 26 hours. But I do know one that ran close to 24. How long is a session? Well, it could be anything from 1 second, then, to 24 hours. That'd be one session. A consecutive period of auditing without having an end of session. Now, how exact must we be in defining this? Is this something we can just handle sloppily and say, a session is a session is a session, and let's skip it? No, it sure isn't. Because you'll start bailing out pre-clears who have had some hit-and-run auditing, who have had improperly managed sessions, and you will say, well, now, let's see, isn't there some way we can get this guy that did this after we have worked for an hour or two trying to straighten out a pre-clear, isn't there some way we can get this guy that did this into a back alley and give him a little black Dianetics so he will hate auditing? And it's quite important. It's very important that you, as a professional auditor, should have a very, very clear understanding of the fact that each session of auditing is itself a complete unit of auditing and is, in essence, a small portion of an entire clearing operation, but is, as a small portion, a complete unit in itself. I have no real way of communicating to you how vital it is that you get this. It's terribly simple. It isn't anything very, very fancy. It isn't anything you have to figure on or plow through, but it is something which, if you neglect, you will bring about discredit to yourself and upset to Scientology. Each session is itself a unit of clearing and is in itself a clearing operation, and each session should itself clear. You follow this? A session should clear what? A question, a concept, an idea, anything. But each session should clear something. You see that? Now, if we just kept that in mind, we'd stop concentrating on how much hourage went around on the clock and how much actionage happened in the case, and we would have ourselves a very happy time of it indeed, because as auditors, we would continue to give ourselves end of cycle, end of cycle, end of cycle, just as nice as you please. We'd begin the cycle of the auditing session, and we'd end the cycle of the auditing session, and we would then have a complete unit every time we audited, whether... And I'm sure that it's impossible to restrain anybody in Scientology from doing this, whether we're doing coffee shop auditing or auditing in a very, very dignified auditing room. It just doesn't matter which we're doing. Our purpose and the title session and a clearing operation should be accomplished every time. I demonstrated to you that a person could be cleared on the 8th dynamic, 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st. A person could be clear on any one of these dynamics. He could be cleared on any idea anybody in the human race has had since the human race has been in existence. Any one idea. Now, that's a lot of ideas, but he could be clear on any one of these ideas, and he would be said to be clear on that idea. The trouble the definition clear got into in the early days of Dianetics and Scientology was that it was a state without the behavior manifestation appended to it. So everybody began to speculate on how a clear would behave. You see, it's an abstract or arbitrary state undefined with meaning. So we have a form without meaning. We have an artwork which means nothing. People can look at it, and then they've got to put significance into it. But if we had put significance into it, or put the proper significance into it, there never would have been an argument about this word. You see that? Well, we said, here's a state, no qualification. It doesn't mean that we reduce a state by qualifying it. No. When you qualify something, you clarify it. So we should have clarified the word clear. The only trouble we ever got into is because we didn't qualify the word clear. Now, what do we mean by the word clear? It is a computing machine word. It is a machine definition. It means that we don't have any held down fives. Now, what's this business about a held down five? Well, we take an adding machine and we put into the machine such a mechanical arrangement that every time we add up anything, it adds a five to the total. So we add up 10, and then we put in 10, and then we pull the crank down. This machine looks innocent on the surface of it, you see. It looks just like any other adding machine. We pull the crank down, and it says 25. 10 plus 10 equals 25. That's wrong answer. All right, let's put into the machine 5 plus 5 plus 5. We put this on the tape, and it says 20. We put onto the tape of this adding machine 1,000 plus 1,000 plus 1,000, and we get 3,005 as the answer. Now, you and I know something's wrong with the machine, and we would not thereafter trust the total of this machine, or we would adjust the machine in its own computations. We would say this machine always adds 5, so we would subtract 5 from the total every time that we use the adding machine. Well, it'd be very simple as long as it was in adding, but let's take an ENIAC, one of these great big electronic computers, and it's got wires going in all directions, and they're going over and beyond and above and below and entangles and coils, and it has valves here, that's a British word for tube, and we have all kinds of bric-a-brac and gimme-gahoojits and magnets operating. And it has feeder slots and rejection slots and relay slots and hole slots. And it's a lot of machinery and occupies a lot of space. And it doesn't run very long without getting out of whack. Well, at Harvard, I believe it was, or some such seminary in the East, we hear of this problem. And actually, this was a held-down five. It multiplied certain factors by five. And the boys who were operating this machine almost went mad themselves before they finally worked it out and found out what it was doing, because they were putting complex problems on the machine. They were putting astronomical problems on the machine, you know, the course and orbits and times when of planets and stars and so forth. Every time they put one of these answers on the machine, it would come up with the wrong answer, and they couldn't even find out what it was doing. And then they put some simple problems on the machine. Somebody that must have been a real genius that walked into the place and put a simple problem on the machine instead of a complex one, and found out that it was doing something very strange. It was multiplying by five. But it wasn't multiplying everything by five. It was just multiplying some things by five. And this was very curious. They put the problem on it, 10 times 10, and they immediately got 500 as an answer. But they put the cube root times the cube root of something, and they got the right answer. The machine was in error in simple arithmetic, and this had been far too simple for the giant brains that had been operating this giant brain. And they got an electrician into the place, and he started combing through the wiring and so on and looking this thing over. And after inspecting a few miles of wire in this ENIAC, he discovered that a drop of solder had gotten on a point which had a little bit too much resistance in the line, and this drop of solder had melted across to another line. And the line it had melted across to was the five multiple line on arithmetic. And that was all that was happening in the machine. And they simply took these two lines apart, separated them, got them properly insulated, and here we were, ready to go again. And the machine then gave correct answers for hours before it blew a tube or something of the sort. Mechanical brains are amusing. They say they get neurotic, but they're built by a lot of neurotic electronics boys who themselves aren't too cautious, and you have picnic on your hands. Well, what's this got to do with the human mind? Well, the only thing wrong with the human mind, actually, is figure, figure, figure mechanically. It goes through a certain pattern, a set of relays, one way or the other, and it behaves very like an electronic computer. Now, we're not talking about this overall big word called mind, as defined in Christian Science, you know, as the overall thinkingness of the overall underness or something. And we're not talking about that word. We're talking about thought as the totality and so forth. And when we're talking about thought, we're talking about knowingness. We're not talking about figure, figure, figure. Well, we get this scale that goes know, look, emote, effort, thinkingness. Now, by the time you've got to that thinkingness, which is below effort, you're actually dealing with bundles of wire. You're actually dealing with energy deposits and energy conduits. And if you don't believe this sometime, why, just audit pre-clears long enough, and you'll actually see some of these conduits blow up, short out, so on. Well, now, a pre-clear who is getting a condensed admiration, you know, condensed admiration particles, condensed effort particles, and so forth, gets down in to a point where anything you put into one side of the computer will come out as anything else on the other side of the computer. You have actually a total short circuit all the way through the computer. All fives are held down on all ones, twos, threes, fours, six, seven, eights, nines, and tens, too. That would be a total identification, which would mean the insulation in the machine is shot, which means that the individual cannot any longer impose distance in his communications. You've got an almost, or not quite, you see, if you had a total absence of distance, you would just get the whole thing vanished. But the fellow's got almost zero distance on any subject under the sun, and so he short circuits. He identifies instead of differentiates. This is a mechanical problem. We're not now, at this stage in Scientology, dealing with an analogy. This is no longer an analogy which we lay out as a pretty little picture of what might be happening. This is what's happening. When you get down to brains, thinking machines built by a Thetan, so on, you're actually dealing with machinery. That's the figure, figure, figure. The automatic computation devices, the stimulus response mechanisms, all these things are this kind of machinery. Stimulus response itself is actually a much higher level of machine than an arithmetical ENIAC or UNIVAC. It differentiates better. The reactive mind of the preclear, which you complain about, is a far, far better mind than an ENIAC or a UNIVAC. And it is just as complexly constructed. And it's only when that reactive mind of stimulus response gets so crushed down in terms of distance, which is to say so impacted and short-circuited that it can no longer get a clear channel for all of its wires, that anything goes wrong with it. You have no objections to a machine which would make your body take its finger off of a hot stove when it felt the hot stove. No objection to it. It's a good machine. You actually haven't anything wrong with a machine which would make you act immediately in an accident to pull a car one direction or another. There's no quarrel with these machines beyond the fact that a Thetan can do it faster. He's just getting lazy when he starts using machinery. We have a stimulus response mechanism then anytime we have a mechanical brain, like a UNIVAC, ENIAC, any one of these great electronic brains. They are stimulus response machines. You puts in your data and you takes your chance. And if a 5 is held down any place in the machinery, of course the chance you take is considerable. And no telling what kind of an answer is going to come out on this one. So when you start to put simple problems on the machine, UNIVAC, ENIAC, it will demonstrate its errors. And when you put simple problems on a stimulus response human machine, it will demonstrate its errors immediately. And much more remarkably than the ENIAC or UNIVAC, it won't wait for an electronics engineer to come around and fix it up. It will patch up at the point when the lines are sprung apart. Quite a remarkable piece of machinery. It is a piece of machinery, though. Every once in a while, a Thetan will look up while you're processing and you say, you know, you talked about machines and so forth. That's a lot of bunk, you know. That's what he said yesterday. And he'll look up and he'll say, what is that? And you say, what's what? Well, there's a big thing sitting over here just to the right and so on. I never saw before. It's a great big thing, and it's just like a teletypewriter. It's got tubes and connections. And you'll say, well, that's interesting. Duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it, duplicate it. You duplicate it often enough, it'll just sort of go away. But you can duplicate it and throw it away to shorten the process. What's shown up there is he's suddenly taken a good hard look at one of the bodies or his own automatic machines. And when we say machine, we mean machine. He's so used to machines that he composes his postulates in this form. He thinks of something being done automatically. Way back on the track, he's just super educated all the way up the track to do this. And instead of hanging up a few postulates simply or something like this, why, he'll mock up tubes. He'll mock up all sorts of things. But he didn't do this unwittingly or unknowingly. He did this in a high moment of awareness. Back on the track someplace. And then, of course, what you do with a machine, you have to hide it, you see, so that you won't see it again. If you don't hide it, why, of course, you don't know that it's operating automatically, and you will still remember having built it, so therefore it won't be automatic. It'll be yours. You've got to disown it in order to have it function. And suddenly this thing will show up, this colossal machine or this small machine or this little black box or something will show up, and here we have the Thetan being very surprised, which was the original genus of machines in general, was the fact that he wanted to put something out there, say, what is it, open it up, and be very surprised. It would give him something, in other words. And this is machinery. Now, when we're talking about machinery, we're talking about machinery. And when you're handling any kind of electronic equipment, it is not a good thing to plug it in, turn it on, let it perform a couple of revolutions, then, just as you walk away, give the switch another yank in some direction, and you didn't even really pick out what switch to give a yank to or turn around harder on, and you either increased or decreased its impedance or its impudence or something, and you just walked off and left the machine. Look, that machine is running. That machine is using energy. That machine is not as thoroughly under control of the individual as it was when it was just sitting there sleeping. So you're going to do an auditing session in a coffee shop in which you're going to say, all right, give me three places where you're not, three other places where you're not, four more places where you're not, now some places where your cat is not. Well, I think I'll have another beer. This guy talks to you. All right. He appears to be all right. You don't think anything more about it. But, as a matter of fact, he feels a little bit dizzy, but he thinks this will overcome itself right away quick. Actually, there's an incident on the track someplace. There's a Hell Down 5 there. Once upon a time, he dressed a cat, his little sister's cat, in doll clothes, and then forgot about it for a short time, and the cat strangled and died. There's a Hell Down 5 right there on the subject of cats. And you said a place where a cat would be safe. Of course, you could have said anything. You might have hit a Hell Down 5, but you don't have a map of the machine, so you don't know what you'd hit. And there he is. He's just gone into a tremendous communication lag. Well, this thing's going to sit there and boil along and turn on a somatic and do this and do that. Now, in some new auditing session, the new auditor is not going to know you gave that session, so he's not going to say, all right, three more places where a cat would be safe. He's not going to say that. He just doesn't know anything about it. Because it's a buried incident, the pre-clear isn't going to say anything about this. And the only time it really turns up is when you go through the actual process of clearing up auditing, which is spot all the spots in which you have been audited. The first spot, this spot in the room, now another spot you've been audited, and spots, auditing rooms, until you've got every place the guy was ever audited, included every coffee shop. Somebody says not the other day here, don't mean to tell me you've got to select out all the coffee shops and drive-ins and every place where a guy's been audited and so on. And this appalled him. Let me ask you, why did this appall him? They're just spots in space. If they had no significance to them, he should be able to simply point in that direction and all the spots would sort of go brrr, gone. Ah, but why did this worry him? Well, it's obviously that we've got some new Hell Down Fives here. That seems to be indicated. We've got some pre-clear getting a little bit upset about something. Well, the machine doesn't upset unless it's got something to be upset about, which is remarkable. It's a very reliable machine to that regard. It doesn't get upset unless it has something to be upset about. The whole legend that it's all in your imagination is not quite correct to the degree that if you were all imagination, boy, would you be well. But if all the bric-a-brac in the world has been moved into a room which you're calling your imagination, you're going to feel it crowded in there. Now, where do we begin and end these sessions, and why? And why all this talk about machinery? Well, let's clear something. Let's talk about this word clear again. We're trying to knock out the held-on fives. How do you know whether a five was knocked out of this case or not? The communication lag of the pre-clear settled to normal. And that's what we mean as clear. You've restored what you could consider to be a decent communication lag to a question. Now, the question is clear if the case falls to its standard communication lag. We'd say the case normally has a communication lag. Let's say we're processing, God help us, a bank president. And we process him and we say, all right, give me three places where you're not. And he says, well, what was that question again? And he says this quite normally in response to nearly everything. That is his communication lag, whatever it is. And when you clear a question, you will clear him to that lag. But what do you know? The lag will gradually improve and will vanish as a lag when he's exteriorized with certainty. Communication lag has a tendency to blow over the boards on a good, certain exteriorization with good perception. It goes. Why? Because the Thetan's doing the job now, and he's not having so much association with machinery. The communication lag is how long it takes the message to get through how much tape on the machine. See, that is the communication lag. So we say to this bank president, and he says this, over there, I'm not over there. Well, no, I'm not over there. Not over there, and so on. This is just it's operating normal. All right, that's fine. So to clear one question would simply do this. We found a question which changed his operating normal. It slowed it down. Instead of saying hrum hrum, he said, and then you gave him the same question again, and we got a similar lag, and then finally, about the fourth, fifth, sixth time we've asked the question, he says, well, now, he's back to his normal. We cleared that question out of the machinery. See? We cleared a question. Now, the clearing of a pre-clear doesn't totally consist of the clearing of questions. You could theoretically sum it up this way. You could say we clear every question, so no question in the bank of significant material, simple, significant material, has any lag on it, and therefore this fellow will be clear. All right, that's a theoretical definition. Actually, that isn't the way we audit. We audit in this direction. We have a shortcut. We audit out some of these held-down fives, you see. And then we find out the guy can exteriorize. And when he's exteriorized, he is exterior too, and is not as dependent upon his body machinery as before, and as a result, his communication lag undergoes a terrific change. I've had a person walk in with a communication lag. His normal communication lag was up there around 5-6 seconds. You know, a thoughtful, conservative, well-accepted, cautious member of society. You know, well-accepted, and of course he's not very successful or anything like this, but he looks good in a business suit, and so of course he's successful. This fellow walk in and audit him for a short time and blow him out of his head and have the communication lag vanish. Then not clear him, you see, up along the line, but clear some of his problems up. And then at the end of the session, without inferring that he should or should not go back into his head, have him go back into his head. This was not really part of the operational plan. We don't care whether they go back into their heads. First few sessions, it's not terribly important. What occurred here was the second he got back in the body, the same communication lag picked up, but he didn't get strange changes in the lag, which were being caused by the things which we'd already cleaned up while he was exteriorizing. Very simple. All right, so there's a faster route to go about this. Now you find an individual, while exteriorized, has certain communication lags. He's very easy to operate with, though, when he's exteriorized. When you get an exteriorized pre-clear with a communication lag, you've got a picnic on your hands. See, you've got a communication lag. Well, you'll chew it up and so forth. You're already processing the Preclear's own machinery as different from the body's machinery. You're liable to go on processing an interiorized Preclear practically forever because you're processing body machinery. And boy, that machinery is really complex. You talk about an ENIAC or a UNIVAC. To build enough machines to run a body the way a body runs and to do its repair work would probably require all the electricians for the next 5,000 years. For all the Eastern Seaboard's electricians. It would probably require as much area as the state of Connecticut just to set the junk up. All right. That's just the machinery to run one body. A guy's been accumulating this for a long time. You see, if Thetan can put this stuff up automatically and fast, oh boy, can he put this machinery together in a hurry. But when he depends on a body to put this machinery together and the machinery to accumulate and so forth, it's a much slower process. It begins to compare to the actual building of electronic equipment. Now, don't think for a moment we have gone over to a mechanistic approach to the solution of life. And get into an argument with some what they call pastoral psychologists. You know, I never quite am able to go across this word pastoral psychologist without getting a visio at the same time. It's a fellow in a frock coat playing panpipes to a group of sheep. I don't know why this happens, but I can't imagine how he gets any auditing done. And so forth. Well, anyway, it's musical processing. They use that out in Los Angeles, probably. Anyway, as we clear each question, we'll find, as we hit the question, a communication lag onset, which may increase and get worse, and get worse, and then get better, and then suddenly go back to normal. We just drop the solder out of the hell down five. But we've cleared a question. That question won't refuse. Go back together and hold down again. And you could audit a fellow today without any exteriorization at all, just hitting these very basic buttons and simple tests through his machinery and just cleaning his machinery up, slicking a whistle. So, boy, would he really function. Would this machinery really function? But you're not a flock of electricians, so we're not terribly interested in going forward to the total repair of machinery. Let's get the guy out and find a first dynamic here, and then we can start on up the dynamics. You know, to start the dynamics running, you should have a first dynamic. You shouldn't start at dynamic 3 and then go someplace. You're right in the middle of the band already. So we could find a first dynamic by processing him enough to get him exteriorized, then processing him while exteriorized enough so that he can stably remain a first dynamic. That's the general goal of auditing, but that's an overall goal. Every time you do not close off, that is to say clear, a question asked, or a series of questions asked in an auditing session, you have taken the fellow out of present time, because past time is the thing which characterizes a communication lag. And if you leave him in a communication lag at any time, any place, you have taken him out of present time. So one of the ways to cancel out communication lag, if you've gotten through with a lot of tough stuff, you couldn't clear up the thing one way or the other, and you finished up the session, and there he sits, he's pretty dopey, all you'd have to do is spot him into present time, which is really another process. It's leaving the machine alone. Now let's get him out of contact with the machine. Let's get him into present time. Instead of going on and finishing up with a clearance of this particular operation, this machine, and so forth, we'll get him into present time. We'll clear him of immediate, intimate contact with the machine. See that? We'll get him into present time. That is the process of getting somebody into present time. We just make him leave the machinery alone. Now, if we cleared the machinery, he would also be in present time. If we cleared the question, he'd also be in present time. We drop out the communication lag. That is, what is normal present time for this pre-clear? It's whatever it is. Or 1 second lag, that's present time for the pre-clear. We've restored a normal condition of livingness and beingness to this individual. And we have done a job. And whether this session is 1 minute or 24 hours long, we should remember to do that. And if we always remember to do that, we will make a complete session. Now, there's a gag I use these days. I generally say to somebody, do you mind if I audit you? And then I generally, at the end of the session, say just that, end of session. I give him at least a spoken cycle of action. I tell him that's the end of the session. Then he doesn't go away or doesn't sit there for the next 15 minutes waiting for me to audit him again. And I'll audit people in coffee shops along with the rest of you. But I always tell them end of session. And they accept that. That's very good. Now, you see what we mean to a large degree by clearing? by running a session and what our end goal should be. And it's not very nebulous or hard to grab hold of, and we can see every mistake we've made with any pre-clear process if we really understand the material I've just told you about.